Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Across the ASEAN here on Money FM 89.3, and today we shift our focus to the Philippines and the country's lengthy battle to try and control the COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of uncertainties arising from the coronavirus seems to be also starting to weigh and introduce some much unwanted uncertainty to Philippine stocks. The PSEI today closing in the red and starting to show signs of losing steam. And we're joined by Mr. Manny Lisbona, who's the president of PNB Securities, to give us a better idea of what is weighing on investors' minds out in the Philippines. Manny, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you're in good health, and welcome back to the show. It's been a while, sir.
Thanks for having me.
The last time we saw the PSE at a high was in June 9. It hit 6,583. Since then, though, markets have been slipping, at one point even below 6,000 points. And today, it seems that we are seeing a continuation of that erosion. What do you think has been weighing on investors and prices out in Manila, Manny?
Actually, the country is officially in recession. GDP has contracted 16.5% in the second quarter. And it just goes to show how deep the effects of the lockdowns are on economic activity in Manila. The second one is inflation has also ticked higher, July creeping up to 2.7. And what you said about pessimism, there is still some pessimism because development of a vaccine is concerned. I think that really is the most important factor that investors are looking at in order to get more optimistic about the future prospects of the market.
Manny, there's been talk of holding a debt moratorium to help affected companies out in Manila, in the Philippines, that is. Now, this move, though, has been criticized by the Banco Central, or the central bank there, and other industry groups. However, when our firms and companies, given the extraordinary downturn, are they actually in a position to honor some of these debts? And could the non-holding of a debt moratorium actually lead to spiking defaults if they're forced to honor some of these debts? I mean, in some sense, is this a bit of a lose-lose situation whether or not a debt moratorium is introduced?
It's kind of hard to answer it in black and white because
fair enough.
I think that it depends on the nature of the business or the borrower's business, right? First of all, there is a shorter moratorium period being worked out. The BSP would, I think they made it clear that they won't take one year moratorium because it's simply too long. And I do believe that there is some sort of relief that borrowers, but it should be done on a case-to-case basis. Of course, with the survival of the bank, one of the major considerations. It's understandable that there are a lot of firms now that are likely not in a position to honor given the situation. And I think it's really up to the bank borrowers as well as the regulator to work things out. The regulator especially could provide some sort of relief on their rules. Maybe some measures will be loosened, the banks as well.
We're listening to Manny Lisbona, the president of PNB Securities here and across the ASEAN, to talk about the state of Philippine markets. The stocks are sliding in the Philippines. However, the Philippine peso remains rather strong. If I'm not mistaken, they are still holding on as Southeast Asia's strongest currency year to date. Why do you think the peso, and we've talked about this before, why do you think the peso has remained rather solid while equities seem to wobble? And do you think that there could be a bit of a boon from a strong peso that could feed into other asset classes like, say, stocks or fixed income? Or do you think that the peso strength is really independent and a non-factor in how other asset classes there are moving?
I could say actually a combination of the dollar weakness as well as monetary and fiscal data. The financial position is still very strong, and I think the recent credit rating agencies effort on the state of the Philippines is a testament to that. So it just so happened, I guess, the U.S. dollar is weak against a lot of the currencies as well. That being said, it's actually good for the country. We aren't importers, so
So Manny, we talked about how poorly companies in the Philippines have done in the second quarter earnings season. In fact, when you look at the sector's property and banking stocks there, took a beating from April to June, similar to how property and banking stocks across the region have also fared. There were a couple of notable exceptions, though, for the likes of, say, a Security Bank and, say, the property developer Double Dragon there. Can you help us understand how some of these companies on the PSA were able to escape the perils that hit their larger peers and actually perform to the upside with regards to their earnings?
For Security Bank, I think the main driver was that it posted almost 14.5% income growth, and despite having provisions for the first half. Net interest margins were also higher at 4.71%, which is, I think, one of the highest. ROE is also at 9%, which is pretty superior. One of the higher ones, actually, among the peers. For Double Dragon, the net income figures were still, as of the second quarter of 2020, net income grew by about 273% year on year to 3.66 billion. And this is, if you compare it with the other property companies, that figures actually on the average declined about 75%. Also about the Double Dragon, rental portfolio is actually less affected because most of their leasable space is supermarkets, pharmacies, money remittance shops, medical clinics, food-related, and which were operational during the lockdown period, so we're able to generate cash flow. So that really explains the resilience of both these stocks.
And finally, Manny, I just wanted to touch on one thing that happened in the Philippines. At long last, we did see one of the first real estate investment trusts in the Philippines launch, and that was Ayala REIT. It wasn't the best of starts. Why do you think Ayala REIT performed so poorly, actually, when they listed on the PSE? And will this shaky start from Ayala REIT perhaps hinder other prospective trusts and the PSE's efforts to try and build a REIT ecosystem or a set of REIT securities or listings in the Philippines?
Yeah, more after that, I'd like to disclose that our sister company, PNB Capital, was writers.
Okay.
So to answer your question, I think there was a combination of a lot of factors. I guess you could say also that I guess there was a segment of the investors who invested in ARIE expect that there would have been a bounce. But unfortunately, the timing wasn't nice, because as you know, ghost period. Now, that being said, I think overall A-REITs or any REIT actually would provide investors good exposure to real estate investments without having to buy real estate. So I think overall it's something to add to your portfolio, but this investment is designed to be held, not to be traded, because what for on this one is the dividends that are supposed to be declared every year. There are advantages to investing in REITs. Another thing, I think the REITs actually just declared a 51 or 59 cent dividend. Well, it implies that it's a dividend yield of about 4% based on yesterday's price. So that's actually not a bad thing.
Fair enough. Manny Lisbona, president of PNB Securities, thank you so much for joining us today on Across the ASEAN. I hope you and your loved ones stay in good health during these uncertain times. And we look forward to having you back on the show sometime in the next quarter. Have a great rest of the week ahead, sir.
Thanks, JP. Stay safe.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.